you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hey friends, Lee Brown here. I'm so excited. I love Burton Kelso. He is amazing. And so what you're going to see is part one of two. There's a two-part episode series here with Burton. One episode that you're going to hear today, we're going to focus on something that's not specifically real estate, but it has to do with your family, your safety, your online world, taking care of your kids as a parent. If you don't have kids, make sure you listen to this. These might be tips for your clients or for your cousin, for your brother, your parents, your neighbors. People who have kids need to dial in. Burton is on point here. Enjoy the show, and I'll see you on the other side. Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Do you ever have team members and employees who ask the same question over and over again? And you wish there was one centralized place to send them to find everything they knew to be productive and efficient? There is. Sweet Process is this really cool company. They reached out to me and said, hey, Lee Brown, we want to sponsor the podcast. And I said, well, then, hey, Sweet Process, let me see what you offer. And I freaking love it. Here's why. It's a software that enables your company to have a central place for procedures, policies, and processes, all the three Ps, we'll just say that. And it becomes so easy for upper management, middle management, and then everybody in the organization to collaborate, because everybody's going to see these three Ps differently: procedures, processes, and policies. You can also know that this allows you to keep your processes really living and fluid, because you can change them at any time. You can organize and reprioritize, assign tasks. It's so intuitive. So it's really great, because you have to have easy. In today's world, we're all overwhelmed. Easy is fantastic. And it also becomes this source of truth, because doesn't matter what level somebody is in your organization or on your team, they can find all the information for how to do the job well. And what better way to reward a team member who wants to go up in the organization than by seeing how they take things and run with it? Sweet Process gives them things to take and run. And also, this makes your training super easy. In fact, I started my Sweet Process journey with onboarding for my team members, because I need to make people more successful more quickly. And I love it, because now anybody around me can get their task done quickly, and the instructions are right there. Now, you should know they always offer a 14-day free trial. So high five, Sweet Process. That's super cool. But because you're Lee Brown's people, what? You're going to get the 28-day free trial, which is great, because I know you'll sign up and totally forget because you're not organized yet. Then you'll use Sweet Process and you're going to love it too. So if you go to sweetprocess.com/crazyshitinrealestate to sign up now, you don't even need to give them a credit card. To go check out Sweet Process, make your company stronger today.
Hello, Burton. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great.
Can you hear me okay?
You sound fantastic. And I'm going to guess you're going to tell me the story of all the superheroes behind you, including the Ghostbusters card that I think I see.
I'm impressed. Yes, those are old kids' toys that, you know, they, in this digital age, they want to play with their electronics more. So rather than tossing them out, I decided to make a background for them.
I like that. Plus, you have my girl Wonder Woman there. But is it Linda Carter? Because she's the only real Wonder Woman to me.
Oh, I agree. I think it's a hybrid between the new one and Linda Carter. So,
okay, well, I can't really tell behind you because the camera's focused on you. So we'll just pretend it's Linda Carter.
That sounds good to me. Well, hey, congratulations on your, was it a half marathon that you ran?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So I like to run a half. That's my favorite distance, because 2 hours is long enough to feel like I worked for it, but not so long that I get into the dark cobwebs of my brain that I happen in a full.
Right.
But it was so stinking cold and I was so mad, but I wanted that medal really bad. So I sucked it up.
You've earned it. That's good. I don't even think I could do that. So congrats.
Good. But you have to decide to and plan for it.
Right. Exactly. That's the tough part. I take it you run daily, obviously.
I do. My first half was in 2013, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've amassed a whole bunch since then. But the first one was the scariest thing ever, because I didn't think I was capable of it. And then once I did it, I said, oh, I can do this.
Right.
kind of like everything else in life.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree.
So tell me about you a little bit. What's your background? Where do you live? What should we know about you besides the fact that you're wearing Carolina blue, which makes you a favorite already?
Well, I own a computer repair and tech support company based in Kansas City. And I'm also a national speaker, and I've been on national TV stations, not the big ones, but I was on. Are you in the area of the WCNC out of Charlotte?
Right here in the Charlotte market.
Yeah, I was on your TV station, I want to say a couple of days ago.
What? Yeah. I missed it. I don't watch them, but for what?
Oh, there was some girl who met some guy online and got abducted. So they were talking about how parents can keep their kids safe online.
Oh, so you were helping.
Yes.
Thanks, Burton.
Yes, yes. But there's a lot of that going on with kids and buying drugs online and all that stuff. So this pandemic's been pretty tough.
You know, my daughter's 16, and I tell her all the time, I'm like, just because somebody seems like a teenager in a chat room, people are really, really skilled anymore. So you don't have a real name on there. Nobody knows nothing about where you live. And we use the, what's it called? The VPN. Is that what we're using? It has it look like we're in Italy or something.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're so naive, Burton. And I don't know how we fix that as parents, except to let them go through their own shit like we did.
I don't know. I mean, online predators are pretty dangerous. So, I mean, you know, what's the value of the life of your child? So I think as a parent, you got to do everything. If you don't know it, you've got to seek help, and so that you can get a button on it, because kids aren't that smart when it comes to technology. It's just parents don't really take the time to understand what they need to do to keep their kids safe.
So wouldn't you say that job number one for a parent is to pick this thing up and turn it over and put it down and look at their kids? Is that probably step one?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I always tell parents all the time, there's no one solution fits all as far as parental controls. The best thing that you can do is know all of their online accounts and check their devices, you know, at least a couple of days a week, just to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do.
All right. So I mentioned VPN. Do you feel like that's a really good thing for every household to do, or especially households with kids? Because we did it as a plan to hide our IP address from people who would know how to hack in. Does that actually work, or did I buy the hype?
You might have bought the hype. VPN, all it does is it masks your identity from like your internet provider and, of course, from Google. It doesn't prevent anyone from hacking into your device. And truth be told, most cybercrime requires user interaction. So as long as you're not clicking on links or falling for scams, then your devices, your phones, your computers, they're perfectly safe, you know. But as parents, the big thing is just checking your kids' devices and understanding where they're going and looking at apps on their phone and understand what the app does. And same thing with gaming consoles, like your Switches and your, you know, your Switches, your Xboxes, and your Sony devices. You've got to look at those too, because the problem is not the games, it's the chat rooms where kids go and interact with people. And there is no parental control software that will monitor chat rooms. And that's where kids get in trouble.
I never thought about the Switch. My son plays on his Switch a fair amount. How do I do? I don't know how to play the Switch. Is there a way to go to the chat back door, or what do I do, Burton?
It depends on the game. Like if they're playing like, say, Fortnite has chat. So the only way you would be able to do it was have your son log into Fortnite so that you can see the conversations that are going on. Even if you download the Nintendo Switch parental control app, it still won't let you see what's going on in chat rooms. All the Switch app does is it allows you to set age restrictions and, of course, time restrictions as well.
All right. So you have kids, right?
Yeah, two boys. They're soon to be 12 and 13. So they're 15 months apart. So,
you know, almost Irish twins, but in the ballpark.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I've got experience with this, with the whole parental control things. I deal with it daily.
So tell all my listeners and viewers, all right, so you're a dad, two boys, one's a tween, one's a teen. I'm going to guess they've been playing for a long time, because for our kids, this is their OS. They have been with this stuff since day one. It's not like they remember a world without it. What's the first thing any parent, grandparent, supervising adult should do when you're in a house with people who have electronics when you don't understand it? Because I think that's part of the challenge, right? I'm sitting here freaking out about the stupid Switch because I don't know how to work it. But then again, my son's not going to block me when I ask him. But I've watched my daughter type the acronym POS, which I know means parent over shoulder. And she got really upset with me when I busted her on that because I know the language. And, you know, in our world, that might mean piece of shit, but in kid world, it means something different. And you have to know these things too. But anyway, back to my original question. What do we need to be doing?
The first thing, and you're not going to like this, is I would tell parents to delay the introduction of electronics for as long as possible.
Oh, no, I like that.
It's kind of hard if your kids are homeschooled or if you're doing hybrid learning. But if you have to introduce them to electronics, make sure that it's only school-based. Anything game-based, you want to delay it as long as possible. Because, Lee, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, The Social Dilemma.
I did, and I sat my kids down and made them watch it with me. And my daughter started deleting apps after she watched it. It was probably the best thing we ever could have done. And that dude who created AI, he kind of creeped me out.
Yeah, the whole thing creeped me out. But, I mean, parents need to watch that documentary. But I think what parents need to understand is technology is designed to keep you addicted, especially games. And for young minds, they just can't handle that addiction to technology. They don't know how to hit the off switch in order to get disconnected from those devices. It obviously causes a digital addiction. So delay any introduction to electronics for as long as you can. If you look at a lot of social media apps, kids are supposed to be at least 16 or older when they get on social media because of a law called COPPA, which is the Child Online Protection Act, which basically means that social media accounts really can't be geared or focused towards younger kids.
Which unfortunately parents work around that all the time and let their kids get on there in an effort to, let's be honest, probably free themselves up so the kid can stare at it a little bit. But I was horrified when I watched The Social Dilemma, especially when you realize that the executives of these companies that have designed this addictive software, they put their kids in schools with no electronics, with pencil and paper. So you've obviously had the same challenge that I've had and every other parent's had during the pandemic of kids got forced at home onto virtual school, where I watched my kids overload on screens. And so the good thing was they burned out of it and decided on their own to go outside more because they were needing to bust away from it. What's your best tip for parents that are still virtual schooling and may stay there for a while because of COVID concerns?
The best tip that I have would be to enable parental controls on every electronic device that you have. Doesn't matter if it's an iPad or an Android tablet, smartphone, computer, and even gaming systems. And parental controls isn't going to allow you to monitor. Basically, what you're doing is you're setting limits so that your kid knows when to get off or is kicked off. So you start that muscle memory of them understanding that there's limits to gameplay. So I think the daily amount is 1 to 2 hours a day. So any parental control software can at least limit your kid. So download it, get it. If you don't understand it, get a hold of somebody who can help you set up parental controls so that you can monitor your kids and make sure that they don't get overloaded on electronics.
You know, I got to ask you, what's the best one to use? Which one do you use in your house? And is there one that's more user-friendly than others? Because I do a lot with technology, but not everybody does. And I think that can be a hurdle for a lot of people to cross. If it feels complicated, they just blow it off. And we need them to really know what's happening in their household. So you got any suggestions for us?
Yes. Like I said, there's no all-inclusive app. So the good thing about most tech devices now, parental controls are already built in. So if you've got a Windows or a Macintosh computer, you can go in and set up parental controls. Same thing with smartphones and tablets. They're already built in. Now, gaming systems have them built in, but the Nintendo Switch and the Sony PlayStation have an added bonus because you can download an app that will control those devices remotely. So with your Windows and your Mac, you definitely have to set up what's called family accounts, and you have to get onto your computer to monitor and set time limits. But again, with the gaming systems, both Xbox, Nintendo Switch, and the Sony PlayStation all have apps that you can download, set up family accounts, and monitor all, or at least set time limits so that they're not going bonkers with their online play.
So you've dealt with boys of the age where obviously peer pressure builds in, their friends are playing this, playing that.
What's one girl too, Lee?
Oh, you
I
got
have a stepdaughter. Yes.
How old is she?
she's 22. She's out of the house, but it was the same thing with her. So gender has nothing to do with it. It's just, you know, pick your poison, you know, as far as what they're addicted to.
You just didn't mention her before. So sorry, friend. We know your dad did not forget to mention you, but you're she's straddling the line, though, because she would have had at least the beginnings of a childhood that weren't completely on screens, whereas your boys, it's just been there since day one.
Right.
So that being said, what's your advice to parents who have trouble restricting their kids? What language would you share with them? Because as you know, parents in today's world are so busy, they're overwhelmed, the noise is loud too. And so I think there's a bigger sense to give in than my parents and your parents felt. Do you have any advice for them on setting these limits and what's helped you enforce it at your house?
Yes. Take the device away if kids don't want to. I know I hate being a hard ass, but I mean, that's what needs to happen. You got to be a parent. You got to step up to the plate and make sure that you handle business. And what did Elvis used to call it? TCBing, you know, taking care of business. I mean, you got to TCB and take care of business because, I mean, it's just going to get away from you. And, you know, with my stepdaughter, we've dealt with an unruly teen who just got carried away with technology, texting strangers, interacting and trying to meet with strangers. I mean, it was pretty scary stuff going on, or I should say scary shit going on, since
you're allowed
in the context of the show. Yes, it really was.
All right. So talk to me about that for a second. Looking back on those scenarios where you saw that she was getting into dangerous waters. Oh yeah. My gosh, that your panic level has to rise. And you've got to deal with things through the panic and also break through with her to the point where she knows this is serious and not just you playing hard ass in your words. So what are your tips to parents to what to look for? How do you spot a shifty person who's not a teenager? How do you help your kid break away from that? Any insights from what you dealt with?
The good thing with smartphones is that they're portable. The bad thing is kids gravitate to them because they are portable. They can hide in their room. They can hide anywhere and send messages back and forth to their friends. So the things that you probably should do as a parent is you want to set the no screen zones in your house, like no screens at the dinner table, no screens absolutely in their rooms, because that's where most kids gravitate in order to, you know, do the bad things that they do online. But again, you definitely want to monitor their devices just to make sure that they're not doing what they shouldn't be doing online. And also make sure that you understand what the apps that they have on their devices do. Because if you look at Snapchat, back when my stepdaughter was in school, I mean, it just looks like a harmless app. But in actuality, you know, it was the app that you could send messages and then they would disappear off of the devices. But yeah, just, you know, you've got to keep up and you've got to have a tech savvy friend that if you get stuck that you can call and say, what do I need to do? I think so many parents are in this mentality of, I should know this stuff because we're in a digital age. But truth be told, there is no way that you can keep up with everything that's going on with apps and technology and everything that's going on. I mean, I'm in technology and I can't keep up with everything that's going on. So it's impossible for parents to do so. I think parents need to lose that stigma of, I don't know it, and just get into the mindset of, I need help. Let me get the help I need so I can keep my kids safe.
Yeah, get into curiosity. Because yes. One thing I found to be interesting, I don't know if you've gotten into the new social platform Clubhouse yet, but one of the perks of Clubhouse being voice chat is it says it's not recorded. But if you look at the terms of service, it's being recorded through your Instagram settings. And a lot of people don't realize that. So they think they're free to do whatever. And that's where we also have to think about the length of the digital footprint, and what you say online and what you do online is forever, because somewhere big tech has it. And that's good if you're trying to resolve an issue that's happened, but it's bad because of course, the way the world wants to judge everybody by the stupid things they did when they were 12, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point too, because one of the things that we get calls for quite a bit are the, unfortunately, it happens to young adult women that they've shared nudes with, say, a boyfriend or someone. And then
so gross.
I know. And then the photos get online. And so you have some panicky parent. Oh, the ex, you know, disgruntled boyfriend has posted nudes of my daughter online. I need someone to take them off. But it's that old adage of, once it's on the internet, It's always on the internet. And with a lot of these free services, you can't just call up Facebook and have them remove that. And you can't hire someone like myself to take them off. They're on a private website. So unless that owner decides to take those photos down, they're up there forever.
Burton, just on another note, how did we land in a world where young people think they need to post their body parts online? I just can't figure out how we went from an era where you and I grew up and Little House on the Prairie was prime time.
Right.
And now people are putting nudes on the internet. I mean, my parents look at this and they're like, what? And my grandparents are obviously rolling in their graves, as are yours. The shift has been really, really accelerated. Do you think it's going to continue to accelerate in more and more dangerous ways?
It is, because parents don't educate their kids when it comes to technology. They just say, here you go. Here's a smartphone. Use it. Get out of my hair. And they don't really educate their kids as far as what the implications are of specific actions. Like if you cyberbully somebody, there's a good chance you may get kicked out of school or get suspended. You post stuff inappropriate online, it's definitely going to come back to bite you because it's on there forever. And we are all a Google search away from people finding our information. I mean, it's pretty scary. I mean, you and I, we kind of have to put ourselves out there because, you know, of branding. But kids don't understand that. All it takes is little disgruntled Johnny or Susie to get online and find out information about you. So parents don't have that conversation the way that they should. And they obviously need to educate their kids more about the dangers of posting information online. Another thing I was going to bring up too, you'll love this. So cyberbullying has increased during the pandemic. And so our family were victims of cyberbullying this past summer. We were doxxed, and I don't know if you know what that means, where people...
Yes, it's horrendous.
Yeah, so they post your personal information online, and it was all stemmed from like a Facebook group where I wouldn't allow people to post whatever goofiness they wanted to in the group. So people were doxing us online, and so I think parents need to understand that can happen as well, that it just isn't the digital world, that what you put online can definitely have ramifications in the real world. So you really need to take caution and make sure that you're careful what you share.
And for those of y'all that aren't junkies like Burton and I are, if you think about people that get on Twitter and they get really nasty, doxing is when they expose your physical address or your real cell phone number to where physical harm could come upon you. And just for the record, if you've ever watched this happen to political figures, to elected officials, don't celebrate it. Don't give thumbs up and high fives, because the more we celebrate really bad behavior, the more it continues to happen. And so if you see somebody's information posted, always report it to the big tech site that you found it on, whether or not they respond. Do your best to be a good citizen, but always be on alert, because you can hear the situation Burton just mentioned, it seems pretty mild. His Facebook group wants to monitor behavior and somebody gets really upset. And of course, in 2021, coming through the pandemic, everybody's very frayed and on edge. And so we're like one matchstick away from a new tinderbox. So just be really smart, be really cautious. Burton, before I let you go, you got to tell my listeners what you do for an actual living and why they might want to reach out to you, and what is integral or integral, or however I'm supposed to say it. I'll let you correct me.
I usually say integral, but integral is fine too. But yeah, we provide on-site and remote tech support, just like the guys at Geek Squad do. So no matter where you are in the country, we can remote in and fix your computers and technology. If you're in the Kansas City area, we can send a tech out to fix your computers and technology. And as far as finding me, I'm kind of like you. I'm all over social media. So just look for Burton Kelso on all of the social media platforms, including Clubhouse. And, you know, are you on Clubhouse?
I love Clubhouse. It's my latest favorite place, because I love the interaction. It might be the same reason you like it. I feel like it's a more genuine place because you can hear energy and inflection, and it's a little different than a push social media. To me, it's a more two-way street, and I'm really enjoying meeting neat people there.
I'm going to have to find you. I'm kind of on the fence with Clubhouse, so, but I'll look you up.
Oh, well, we'll connect and I'll introduce you to some of the fun spaces that I'm in, because I'm landing in a vein of really great heart-driven, servant-driven people who are sharing great ideas. And I think it's your kind of people too. But of course, there's plenty of scam artists and punks on there, so I had to stay away from them.
Exactly. I appreciate it.
And I need to introduce you to one of my favorite realtors on the planet. She's in Kansas City, Stacy Johnson Cosby.
Oh, of course. I know Stacy and Tracy, the twins.
You know them?
Yes.
I love them so much. Tracy's the safety lady, so yes, she's going to love this episode. And then Stacy, of course, is the leading proponent for housing providers, and she is such a force of nature. I have never met anybody in my life with energy like that. So I'm so excited that you know some of my favorites.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Well, good. So now that I've given them a shout out, they're going to have to pop into the comments and show you some love back. But I was just going to say, all the housing providers out there should probably be thinking about this from a tenant-landlord relationship standpoint, because you want to make sure that when you're providing housing to people, you can also provide tips about safety, because you want tenants to be safe as well, especially when they're transitioning into a new area and they don't know who their new neighbors are and what the surroundings are, to stay safe, protect kids, stop sex trafficking, because it's massive, y'all. So be a voice for good and make the bad stuff, at least, well, it won't always go away, but we can reduce it if we get smart. Burton, I appreciate you so much for coming on the show and giving us some really good insights and tips on things that we can all do better as parents and citizens, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and friends. And thank you for what you do all over the place to help make other families safe. That's an amazing way to be a dad of other people.
I appreciate it, Lee. It's a pleasure.
All right, guys, all of his contact information is in the show notes. And so the next time you want to call Geek Squad, don't, just call Burton and he'll be able to help you out. But get smart, be a tougher parent so you can keep your kids alive. And then in the meantime, you're thinking, what in the world was that, Lee? Well, this is crazy shit in real estate. I can talk about whatever I want to talk about. And so that means you're going to click 5 stars and subscribe for more, because you frankly never know what you're going to hear. And we'll definitely see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.